Sports talk conversations with a good laugh mixed in. This is the Sports Talk with Thetford and Ashby podcast from Double T 97.3, presented by Cantex Roofing and Construction.
I'm Mike Hebert, owner of Cantex Roofing and Construction. Every day is game day, and we'll get it right when it comes to your roofing, construction, windows, and mirrors. Call Cantex Roofing and Construction today. Together, we are one serving you.
Lubbock Sports Medicine. What a team of doctors. Coach Kidley hopes he doesn't have to use them. We don't keep everybody healthy, but boy, they're the team. They take care of Texas Tech. Lubbock Sports Med does. And you can go to lubbocksportsmed.com and check out all the doctors. What a lineup of pros, fellowship trained. These are the best in the business. People from all over the country come here to be treated at Lubbock Sports Medicine, orthopedic solutions for active people. And they take care of athletes and anybody else that gets hurt. They're great people. And go see them. Mighty Wash, there are car washes all over town with Mighty Wash, and they're the one to go to because the people make the difference, and they do a great job. They keep expanding and putting more in Lubbock so it's convenient to you and your neighborhood. And also, they're all over the Permian Basin, I will tell you. And this is the – look here, Coach Kidley has got it. Mighty Wash is the Texas Tech coach's car wash. They give them free car washes, and Coach Kidley's like a walking advertisement for our show. And he's absolutely the greatest at coming in and being on our – I can't even tell you. He's got a meet today, y'all. The Red Raiders host the Mask Rider Open this week. It's going on now. They've not started
yet. The 10Ks and the 5Ks are, yeah. But
they already started?
Yeah, you guys are priority.
So okay. Well, those take a long time to run.
I watched one race, and then I headed this way after I spoke at the alumni.
How'd that alumni deal go?
Well, yeah, Kerry Hobbs, who invited me, I had no idea. Can you just stop by? We'll just fit you in. I walked in there, and there were 100 people lined up. I mean, this is a big deal. They're talking about campaign for their next campaign, and I listened a little, and then they got me in there, and I did my 5-10 minute speech and got out of there.
Where'd they have it, over at the Alumni Association?
Well, normally they do. I don't know why they didn't, but they were in the north end zone today.
North end zone.
They've never been there. Something happened. They had to go there.
Kurt Langford?
Yes, you bet.
Yeah, Kurt's doing a great job. You talk about a tough job. Somebody's going to have to fill in for you someday. Yeah. I hope it's a long time from now. Yeah. Well, you got to fill in for Bill Dean.
Bill Dean. Yeah,
it's not like he did it just for a couple years.
No. Kurt's doing great at it.
I go a lot with him to speak. And I look up. That poor guy, I mean, he works hard.
He does.
He's going somewhere constantly. He's got back from Houston for a week or whatever, rodeo, and then back here.
You got Jim Douglas there.
Yep.
And they got a great team over
there.
Yep. Chris Sneed, they got a really great team.
Great people, man.
All right, well, Coach Kidley's here. He's won every kind of award you can win. I think he's – are there some other Hall of Fames you can get in, Coach? I think you're in all of them.
It's
amazing.
I'm just very thankful, let me tell you.
Well, you've been a blessing.
Ask him what meet he went to. Was it weeks ago?
No, last week.
Was it last week?
The West Kidley Open.
The West Kidley Open.
In Abilene. I don't even know how we did. I'm sorry.
Hey, at ACU, they don't put your name on a building. They just give you a name of relays after you.
You know, it's of course, my alma mater, coached there, ran there.
19 years you were there. 19 championships you won there.
29. Yes.
29. Yep. Oh, my goodness.
Got two here, so we got 31 now.
31 championships.
We'll try to get the Red Raiders some more.
Yep.
Are these talking national championships?
That's right.
National. 31.
Yeah.
Who has more than that?
Oh, I don't
Nobody.
Know.
Nobody.
I don't have any idea. It had to be somebody pretty special. Been in it a long time.
No, it's fun to go back, but it's, we just get home on Monday from Boston, and then we're leaving on Thursday or Friday to go there. Well, you don't get any break. But the kids that didn't make nationals, well, they get to open up, but it was terrible weather.
Yeah, so it was.
I didn't do much at all. And so we did pole vault, and we did run the 800 and a few distance runners.
It's sprint, so you don't run in that kind of weather.
I wasn't going to run any sprinter.
How do you determine, Coach? Because track and field is different. I mean, you'll take different kids to different meets to rest, and you don't want them running into this one. There's a lot that goes into coaching and how to play it all together and make it work.
Well, I think the biggest thing people don't get in our sport is Terrence is a 10-0 guy.
Yeah.
Well, and he's got a sore leg, but Craig's a basketball player, and he's got a sore leg, and he's a 40-inch vertical, but he's got a leg that's hurting, but he still is a 30.
He still
he's 10.
Jump. Yeah.
He's 10 inches off of his best. He still dunk at 30 inches and 40.
Yeah.
Football same way. You in track? You got a sore leg?
Yeah, you're
It's magna you can't do that.
Yeah.
I mean, you're not even close to being your
best. You can't compete.
No, and it's
not even at any level.
You know, our world is 7-5 and 7-2. It's that much.
Yeah.
Well, that's winning national championship or being not All-American.
Yeah.
So ours is way more – people don't get it. We just don't line up every week and run.
Yeah.
You can't run high intensity all out every week and hold up.
Well, that's what they did in junior high and high school. Every meet you're out there running. Yeah. Everybody's running.
Well, but like at Rule, I could go win anything.
Yeah.
So I'm not – but I'm not giving – I'm not going 100%. I can go 90 to win most meets.
Yeah.
But not in college.
No.
I mean, boy, you run that 100 meters and 200 meters and 4x1s and just –
And what's really interesting is how fine-tuned their bodies are, and one little tweak in 100, you may sit for
– And they're all muscled
You
up.
May sit Six, for three weeks. Or 4 weeks, you
yeah,
know?
Yeah, if it's a tweak, you're at least a month, but if you pull it, you're probably out for the year.
And hamstrings are no stranger to people in track.
Oh, no, and I've kind of dwarfed, not intentionally, but dwarfed a little bit to the sprint side.
Yeah,
is our strength, and so it's always you live and die on the edge.
From Jonathan Johnson to 800, to hurdlers, to sprints, to what is questionably one of the best sprint relay and mile relay teams in the country.
Well, I think if you ask anybody now in the last 5 years who's the sprint king of NCAA, it's Texas Tech.
Yeah.
I mean, no doubt.
We have
no
won
doubt.
The 100 and the 200 and been first and second, and second and third in the 200 and the 100 and the sprint relay 37.93. And
speaking of sprinters, Caleb Dean. Yes. Give us a little background on Caleb.
Oh, man, what a warrior. I call him my Swiss Army knife.
He can just do everything.
Yeah, I mean, he and Terrence wheeled this group. I mean, we had our team meeting on Thursday, and we talked, and then, you know, them guys are saying, when we broke out, I let them break out. Most of the time it's 1, 2, 3, TTU or whatever.
Yeah.
This was national champions, how they broke us out.
How about that?
And he just said, guys, we're going to go get it done. So I mean, you know, he just wills.
It's Caleb Dean,
but he wills them by. Okay, I'm going to run the 60, not my forte.
Yeah,
and I got sixth place, and then I'm going to run my event, the hurdle national champion.
Yeah,
and I'm going to lead off at 4x1 to set the tone.
Yeah,
or 4x4.
Yeah,
and you know he's a 400 hurdler outside, and so just couldn't tell.
Where's he from?
He's from Maryland.
A world class for one.
Yeah,
he's 48.3 last year. He while we were warming up in Austin, he rolled his ankle coming off a curb, coming off a hurdle, warming up. And, I mean, it blew up within 10 minutes. And so Frank is our trainer, and Mary, they're trying to – and he's just limping. But he goes over there and runs, and he's not right. And he gets fourth at the national meet, 48-4. We get back, and we're trying to do a few things with it, and it doesn't go down. Well, we finally take him to sports med. He got a broken ankle.
It's broken.
So he got fourth at Nationals with a broken ankle.
That's amazing.
And all summer he's in a boot. All through October he's in a boot. And then he really didn't have much of a fall. But it's just, you know, that's the kind of kid he is. He wills himself to get back, and he's a warrior. And he's such a team person.
Yeah.
He has an outdoor next year only because of COVID. And we're going to beg him to come back. But, you know, if he runs 47 in the 400 hurdles, he probably would get a good contract. But if he runs 48 flat and still wins Nationals, then I think we have a chance of getting him.
One thing about track and field that I want you to expand upon is a lot of people don't realize you've got 100 and something athletes,
130.
I guess. 130.
Yeah, when y'all walked out there at the court that night, I was like, how in the world do they have that many?
There's a lot.
There were a bunch.
You've got 130-something athletes. These guys are students, but you don't have any, I don't think I speak right, on full scholarship. These all kids are having their books paid for, and that's it. Their tuition paid for, and that's it. Their room paid for, and that's it. Board paid for. I mean, they're all on some kind of a partial scholarship, I think. Is that right?
No, you're exact. We only have 12 scholarships, 12.6. Right. And
130 kids for 12 scholarships.
It's just, I think it's on the men's side. Now, we have 18 on the women.
Yeah.
But I think it's just the most abused sport of any of You know, people don't realize that you're on 10% and you're on 20 and you're on 30, and it's that's our life. And occasionally we go give full ride to a kid that's a superstar. And it's getting harder. We're having to do that.
Yeah.
I've assigned two kids next year, and I've given them, in a sense, there's cost of attendance is really a full. Right. I didn't give them cost of attendance, but so it's still not a full.
Well, let me just say this, since because we talked a little bit off the air during the commercial break about what's going on across the country with NIL and with the Matador Club that we have here at Texas Tech, by the way, which has done a phenomenal job. Yeah. I can't even tell you how great they've been.
I mean, it puts us up there with the rest of them.
Yeah, it gives us a chance to compete nationally with everybody in every sport. But Coach Kittley needs help, and that's where it's got to come from, through the NIL.
Correct.
And they could designate. I want to give.
Oh, yeah, you give to the track program through the Matador Club.
That's the way to do it.
And you just put on your check, you know, I want you to go track, and they'll do
but
it.
But we were kind of talking, and, you know, you don't ever know. But what the other schools across the country are doing, whether they're spending $400,000 or $500,000 on their track team, that's what we got to do. And we're national champions, and we want to just keep that and continue it. Coach Kelly's already proven he can win 19 in a row. So if we can get the money, and the kids love coming here. They love it when they get here.
If we get
the facilities
kid on campus,
is the nicest.
It's just almost impossible for them not to love it.
Yeah.
And so I think they're very surprised, and because everybody beats us up in recruiting, which is no big deal. I was told you can't ever win by all my friends when I came here, I kind of like that.
How many kids are you getting out of Texas now? I mean, Texas used to be at one time a premium track and field state.
Well, I'll tell you what's happening.
Is it still like that?
Yeah, it is. I mean, I've signed several Texas kids, but I will say what's happened to Texas Tech, and I just told the Alumni Association this. I won 1985 first Big 12. All Texans. And I mean, Amarillo, Odessa, whatever. And then, honestly, baseball happened in West Texas.
Yep.
And so there's not as many track kids. But then Texas Tech never had good academic scholarships for out of state. Now they have great academic scholarships. And what that means is it's $20,000 relatively to go to Tech if you're a Texan, $40,000 if you're an out of state. But if you get an academic scholarship, then you become a 20. Then you get that money. Then you have $5,000 for your merit.
Yeah.
And but I get to count that $40,000 as the full scholarship as the denominator. So that you become a half scholarship immediately if you're academics and you're out of state. So it's really for me to make my 12.6 go farther, I better recruit out of state more than in. Because if I give you get an academic scholarship and you're $20,000 and you get $3,000 academic, okay, it cost you $17,000.
Yeah.
But to that $40,000 guy, hey, he becomes a 20, then he gets his $3,000 off of that, and then it's a big deal.
Yeah, that answers the question.
But we still have more Texans.
Yeah.
But I'm just recruiting to win nationals. I have got to be international, out of state, and Texas.
Yeah.
And it's hard now with NIL because there's some kid on the portal that's better than the high school kid.
Right.
So high school is not as important right now.
Well,
and that's sad.
Do you worry about your kids? I see these coaches after basketball games now. They're shaking hands with the other team. Yeah. Hey, Mike, we'll be in touch. kind of a deal.
Yeah.
You're really good. We'd like you to come play here.
I noticed that when we played North Carolina State, when they showed the starting lineups, North Carolina State had four graduate transfers and one junior. No freshmen, no. And that's what's happened. I mean, you've got 18-year-old kids trying to play against 25-year-olds.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Look at Oakland beating Kentucky.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, it's the one and done at Kentucky, but he goes and gets a bunch of freshmen.
Right.
But it doesn't matter how talented they are. They're not going to beat that 24-year-old that's played three different schools at Oakland.
Yeah.
Doesn't matter who it is. It's not about the school.
I didn't know they had a school at Oakland.
I didn't know it was in Michigan. Did you?
I didn't know anything
about
it. I
thought Oakland was California.
Yeah. Yeah.
But, I did, too.
But you
I thought it was in California.
But basketball is so unique. You know, you just need four or five guys.
Yep.
Whereas football and other sports,
you got to have more.
Okay, let's talk about the outdoor season. Big 12.
Yes.
I know you hadn't, you know, maybe you have put the pencil to it. Who's going to compete against Texas Tech to win the Big 12 outdoor game?
It'll be Texas again. Texas was ranked high going into Big 12 and just they got third. I mean, they did not have a good meet, and they're talented, but I mean, we're going to be the team to beat, and I think Texas and maybe Oklahoma State will be up there.
What's happened to Baylor?
On the men's side. Now, women's side, it's Texas and us.
Yeah.
But our women are – we haven't even mentioned them yet, and they're really come on.
Yeah, we were 15th, and we had our triple jump girl that won the national championship, Ruta, but then Susanna, she has been hurt, and then Rose had a strain, a little bit of a strain hamstring, and so she wasn't right. So I know we have a good 4x1 women.
Yeah.
I think we're much better outside. I think we can be at least top 5 to top 10 on the women's side.
In the country.
In the country, and yeah. Yes. And then fight Texas for the Big 12 championship.
You know, Baylor used to be like they were dominant in track and field for a long time. What was the guy's name that coached there?
Clyde Hart.
Yeah, Clyde Hart. He's like a legend.
Well, he was, and I don't mean this at all. They were always great at the 4x4 and the quarter.
Yeah.
But they never were. They've never won a team championship ever.
Isn't that something?
And so, but people think Baylor had great track just because they had great mile.
Exactly. That's what I think.
Like Michael Johnson stuff like that. Yeah.
Michael Johnson was.
You know, exactly. And they've had some great individuals, but they've not.
Not
team wise. $75,000 to go to Baylor, and you can't have much of a team with $75,000 to get walk ons.
Yeah. You and Texas, the only ones in the Big 12 to ever win a national championship in track and field.
Yes, as far as I know.
Okay.
And Texas never done it, but indoor.
Yeah,
on the men.
Yeah, well, Coach, where you got to go? You need to go. You've been so great.
I better get up there.
He's got a track meet today.
I've got till 1 before we run the 4x1, but I want to check in. And
oh yeah, you kind of need. Where's the coach?
I need to see my kids.
He's really popular. He's out doing talks. Well, Coach, we're so proud of you. I can't even describe to you how proud we are of you and what you've accomplished and your team and your other coaches and. You put together an amazing program, and we thank you.
Well, I'm just so thrilled to be here. This is home to me. This is where I want to be, and I'm just wanting to honor Texas Tech, honor our university, and continue to have fun.
And
I'm 65-year-old man now. So
I know it.
I want to keep doing this for a while, though.
See, he's got his son here, too.
Yeah, you know, I just started to say, he's about this close to being Zach Kittley's dad.
I know it.
Sports Talk conversations with a good laugh mixed in. This is the Sports Talk with Bedford and Ashby podcast from Double T 97.3, presented by Cantex Roofing and Construction.
All righty. Senior Benefit Solutions of West Texas. Now, when I say that, you're going, what in the world? It's Medicare. That's what they do. Laurie Kassler, Tanya Blackburn. And they are pros at the business. And I'm telling you, you need a pro. You need somebody that does it every single day and helps people get the best coverage and for the least amount of money. And, you know, you just want to be covered. And that's what they do at Senior Benefit Solutions of West Texas. So if you need help and you're looking for some good quality information, then you need to talk to them. Their number is 806-781-3904, 781-3904. They're on 86th and University, I think. 86th Street, 2513, and one of those office buildings, easy to find. They got a big flag up there that you can get to them, and they can help you at Senior Benefit Solutions of West Texas. All right, we are honored to have on the show. I tried to get him to come in today, but he always going to a tournament. He plays golf all the time. Greg Sands is with us. Coach, thank you for taking the time to do this. I know you got a lot going on.
No problem. I wish I was playing golf.
How tough is it, Coach, just to have to watch all the time?
Yeah, it is sometimes. Sometimes you think you can do better, and then you realize you go play, and you go, man, this game's hard.
Yeah, I'm not near as good as I thought I was.
Exactly.
Well, so, you know, every time I go out there, I keep thinking I'm better than I am, and it doesn't take me long to realize. And just what is it about golf, Coach? Just when you think you've got it figured out, you just completely fall apart.
Isn't it an incredible game? You know, you even get to see that at the highest level. You know, you watch Rory McIlroy, and blows the field out, and next week he struggles to make the cut. So it's just a
it's a crazy game
that keeps you coming back and drives you crazy at the same time.
You know, when he hit that ball in the water, when he's right there, he's got to hit it across the water, and he's right there by the water, and he just flubs it in the water. I thought, thank you, Rory. I've done that before, hit water that no way you should have had. But, Coach, y'all are doing awesome. You're absolutely – your men's golf team is just – we're ranked eighth or ninth in the country, And we won a couple of tournaments and just got came back off of a win. Now headed to the Valspar Collegiate, isn't that right?
That's correct, yeah. We got here last night playing a practice round today. Actually playing a practice round today and tomorrow. Fortunate enough to have a donor that is a member at this golf course. It's actually got some ties back to Jim Crane and the Houston Astros. So a Texas Tech alum from Houston got us on. So we're out here actually playing right now. I'm watching the guys.
You're playing yesterday, where you're going to play in? You're playing at the tournament site.
Yeah, the Floridian's the name of the golf course.
The Floridian. I'm glad you said that.
It's actually owned by Jim Crane, it's got some Major League Baseball ties to it. Kind of ironically, sports and yeah.
So Greg,
Wells is here, by the way.
Greg, do most of your tournaments, are you playing at places that you choose to play at because of the kind of a course will help you on down the line, or is it just the competition in the certain tournaments?
Yeah, it's a little bit of both. Now that we're moving the national championship to San Diego, we adjusted a little bit from last year or last few years. It's been at Greyhawk and Phoenix there. We're going to try to play a little more desert golf maybe during the year to prepare for the end. And this year, since it's in San Diego, you try to do maybe a little something different. But there are tournaments like this one, the Floridian, that, you know, the winner, the individual winner gets an exemption into the Valspar Collegiate, which Ludwig won last year. And he's not playing in the event, but he did get an exemption. But this is a really good field. I mean, this is probably one of the best fields of the year. We'll have, including us, we'll have like 6 or 7 of the top 10 teams in the country here. And so you want to play the best competition that you can. Several reasons for that. I think it makes you better. But also with the PGA Tour University program, that gives you the opportunity for the kids to get as many points as you can playing a strong schedule for the end goal of maybe getting some status on the PGA Tour.
And that is Snyder's is ranked 21 right now. Is that right? 20, 21, something
like
that?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, Tyron has played really well. It's a two-year assessment, so they look at 2 years of your last year, junior or your senior year. You have to be a senior to accept to qualify. And so he's in his second year, and he's ranked about 20th, which would give him status into the America's Tour, which is used to be the Latin American Tour, which is both are feeders into the Corn Ferry and eventually the PGA Tour. Only the winner of the PGA Tour U, which was Ludwig last year, gets automatically onto the PGA Tour.
Now, Coach Sands, let me get this straight. This tournament, the Floridian National Golf Clubs, where it's going to be, it's located in Palm City, Florida, and the host is Houston?
Yeah, like I said, because Jim Crane of the Houston Astros owns this place,
so
he's got a lot of ties back to Houston.
Yeah.
And so Houston hosts the event because of that relationship there.
Yeah,
it's kind of neat, you know.
That's yeah, really neat.
Spring training is here, and so that's the reason
that's
they
cool.
have this club here.
Well, Coach Sands mentioned the teams that are there, Coach Wells. North Carolina ranked number one. Vanderbilt number 3, Arizona State number 4, Alabama number 5, Texas Tech number 9, Florida State 11, Arkansas 13, Oklahoma 14, Texas 8. I mean, this is like an all-star tournament you're going to.
Well, that's what really helped our ranking. You know, we started the spring like 23rd, and we played in a couple of these events in Hawaii. We got 4th. It was a similar event, beat a lot of really good teams. And then we won a tournament in Palm Springs, which was not as loaded. But then we finished 2nd at Cabo, which was a similar strength of field as this one. Beat Vanderbilt, beat a lot of top 5 teams. So that moved us all the way from 23 to I think we got as high as 5 a week ago.
And yeah.
We want to play great places. We want to play hard golf courses. We want to play the best competition. And I think that's what when you recruit, that's what these players are looking for. They want to be tested, and they want their game to be tested by the golf course, but also tested by the best players you can find. And college golf's really really become a lot better since the PGA Tour U program has rolled out, and these kids want to stick around and play all 4 years to get some sort of status before they go out and embark on their professional careers.
And Greg, your tour that you're going on right now is all headed towards the Big 12 championships, and then of course the NCAA championships. Big 12 championships in Houston, a little suburb of Houston, later in the year. And how has the addition of Houston, BYU, Cincinnati, how have they changed the Big 12 golf landscape?
Yeah, I think it's broad, you know. It'll be interesting. I think some of the effects we won't feel till later. They're new right now. They're still trying to figure out, you know, the Big 12. We had the Big 12 match play with them, so that made that format a little bit different. But, you know, there's good programs. You know, when we add Arizona and Arizona State next year, that'll really make us a really good golf conference. Of course, we're losing Texas and Oklahoma, and they were good golf programs as well. But, you know, we still keep Oklahoma State. And there are others that are really good too. So we'll have a really good golf conference, and I suppose we'll probably have some more options to play the conference at a little different places because our footprint in the Big 12 is so much bigger with UCF now and BYU and all the schools that kind of expand our footprint in the U.S.
Well, we've got such a great brand right now, and at Texas Tech in general, Coach Sands. But we've got a great brand with our golf, and I credit you and JoJo for the teams that y'all are putting together. I credit the Rawls course, and I know they're doing some work out there, but that has been invaluable. Y'all have great practice facilities. I'm telling you, it's got to be a huge help.
Yeah, it really is. You know, anytime you can bring a recruit in and show them how convenient the place is to their living area, the university. They don't waste a lot of time, and we sell that hard. You know, you go to Texas, you go to, you know, Oklahoma State, you got a 20, 30-minute drive every day from your campus to your golf course, and you're not wasting a couple hours in either traffic or just proximity. And then, you know, our short game area, we redid that a few years ago and really got a variety of shots you can hit around the you know, short game area that helped develop the players. And, you know, you mentioned the Rawls and what the programs have done. You know, Ludwig's even taken it to the next level with his play and his emergence, making the Ryder Cup and winning the Ben Hogan twice. So, you know, we got to credit players who hit the shots because those make us look a lot better coaches, you know. So that's really helped us a lot too.
It has.
Greg, just – and I know a lot of people talk about it and everything, and I never have heard your opinion on this, but the wind in West Texas and what they practice in and so forth, is that a plus for you when these kids go and play? And, you know, like these announcers on TV, they say, oh, it's a windy day today. It's up to 7 miles an hour or something, you know. Is that an advantage for you sometimes for these kids to have played in those kind of conditions here?
100%. You know, whenever you get to play and win a little more than the next guy, especially maybe like, for example, is Arizona State, you know, it's pretty calm there a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And you get a little more variety of your weather, I think it's a positive. Now, you have to have kids that buy into that, and you have to have kids, you know, like Ludwig, who loved it. He wanted to go. You know, you always want to go to a place that's going to be harder than where you're going. And I think Lubbock provides us that opportunity. And so – you know, there are times I think that we do lose a little bit of development when it's blowing and you want to practice and we probably need to get an indoor, and we've thought about that and we're working on that strategically to get to expand our indoor to include some short game stuff. But in general, I wouldn't trade it for anything. I mean, you want to be able to practice in all conditions, and Lubbock really provides you the opportunity to do that.
Yeah, all kinds of seasons in 1 week.
Yeah, you can in one round.
First day it was winter. I'm telling you, it's with the Rawls course, and they just do such a great job. And I know they're changing up the bunkers out there. They're getting rid of some. Did you have some input into that?
Yeah, Bammer and I, and then JoJo, we went through there because, you know, the girls have certain strategic bunkers that go into play for them, and we have certain bunkers that strategically are or not in play. And so we gave them the feedback, and it's been nice. We added a new tee on 8 and 13 for our guys that will lengthen it out. And, you know, the women are having the regional next year. We've put in a bid for I think 27-28. So, you know, we're probably due a green resurfacing in the future too. But first things first, we got the bunkers done, and it's looking really good.
Are they finished with the bunkers?
They'll probably finish. I think by May 1st they'll finish.
Okay, because I went out there, and we had to skip a couple of holes because they were
right.
They were afraid we'd hit the guys working on them.
Greg, yeah, brag on a couple of your players.
Well, I could brag on all this group's a special group. You know, 1 through 10, we've had each guy do something that's helped us out. And but you know, if you're looking at, you know, stories within our top five, you know, Tyron Snyders has played really, really consistently for us.
And he's
Callum
from
Scott,
he's from where?
He's from South Africa. He transferred from Memphis 2 years ago. You know, his development and his leadership have been key to our success this year. But we got guys like Bord Skogan who are playing on the four spot for us, who, you know, really probably played really good as a freshman and a little bit as a sophomore and kind of had a down junior year, and he's coming back into form. Matthew Comagies from Plano, who won the state championship there, he's really, really stepped up his game. I left him at home earlier in the spring, and he didn't sit around and pout. He went out and got better, and then he rattled off three really good tournaments, top five in Hawaii and top five and Palm Springs. And so, you know, really the development of those three guys in particular has helped us out. And then we've got a dogfight on our back end. We've got the Nicholas Award winner from the Division II. He transferred in, Charlie DeLong. He's playing this week. Him and another transfer from North Texas have been battling out for the fifth spot. They're great kids and hard workers. So when you have competition, you know, 1 through 6, you know, that to make the five, it's great. But we really have competition 1 through 10. That's really pushed us.
You know, I think
this, team well.
I think that Ludwig and what he did, and just, you know, he's just a. We had him on the show once. And
what he continues to do.
Oh, my gosh, he's just amazing young man. And he's in Lubbock a bunch. He's been here recently. And he loves Lubbock. He loves Texas Tech. And these guys, if you know, you get a chance to be – your golfers now, of course, they know him well. But
and his girlfriend's here.
And his girlfriend's here. That's keep her here, Coach.
She got a job at the Red Raider Club, so that's good. We need to keep paying her more.
I don't know what she's making.
Supplementary income.
Yeah, but play her more. The you know, and the other thing is, Sean O'Hare's moved back to Lubbock.
Yep.
I mean,
yeah, it is. You know, it's kind of unique times for us to have both those players around, and you know, we get to pick their brains, and vice versa. You know, I think we've also brought some things to Sean, being younger coaches that he's learned from maybe us too, but certainly we're learning a lot from those guys just on how they practice, what they think about, and all those things help these kids, you know, to get where they are.
Oh my gosh! Well, and
also help them to believe in themselves because they see they're pretty good compared to those guys.
Yeah, and Sean, he's best friends with your assistant coach, right?
Correct. That's correct.
I mean, they're like dear friends, and. Yeah. I think that's one of the reasons. That's one of the reasons Sean moved back to Lubbock. Of course, his family's from here, and I played basketball in Monterey with his dad, Mark O'Hare. I mean, it's just, Coach, we're so proud of you and what you're doing.
Thank you very much.
We're honored to have you on the show, and good luck at the tournament, the Valspar Collegiate, and that's a heck of a meet, heck of a deal you got coming up.
Enjoy Florida.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you, Greg. Greg Sands, everybody, the head men's golf coach at Texas Tech. He got it going, too. They recruit all over the world.
What a gentleman. What a great dad and a husband and just a class guy.
He is 20-something years, 22. 20, yeah, he's been at Tech.
Yeah.
It's hard to believe it's been. He doesn't seem that old.
I know it.
All right. Well, I think we're going to have – what time is it? We're going to have Matt Dowdy when we come back here on Sports
Speaking
Talk.
Speaking of class.
Yeah. He's my Lou. Come on now. We'll be right back.
Sports Talk conversations with a good laugh mixed in. This is the Sports Talk with Thetford and Ashby podcast from Double T 97.3, presented by Cantex Roofing and Construction.
All right, Cardinal Sports Center. You know, I love their little logo, their commercial pitch, everything. That word everything, everything Lubbock, everything Texas Tech, everything sports, it really fits. And it fits even more fashion stuff for women. I'm amazed with this store. I would have never dreamed that there could be a sports store, especially Cardinals.
I know.
They were just jocks and cleats back in the day.
Downtown in a little old store.
I know. It's amazing what they are now.
Just go walk into the Cardinals front door.
Yeah.
Take about four steps and stop and just look. You look every sport, everything.
They got it all the equipment, but so much more. And just apparel that's become such a big deal. We got Matt. All right, Matt, just one second here. I can do that other one later. Matt Dowdy's here with us. And, Matt, I printed out some stuff here. It's got your name on it. Assistant Athletics Director for football. But you do – I mean, we call Matt for everything. You're kind of the everything guy, aren't you, Matt?
I don't know about everything, but
you're close.
try to help where we can.
Well, you always do, and you always do great. And in fact, you tried to get us a football guy on today, but I knew because spring football's already started. They're all in. Football coaches are the meatiest group of people I've ever seen in my life. They're always having meetings, aren't they?
They really do. So just their schedule during a normal Saturday when we practice, they got up there earlier this morning with the team breakfast. They'll do meeting like position meetings where they'll go over what they're implementing today, but also previous practices. But it's also a big recruiting day. Anytime we have a weekend practice, you can expect, especially under Coach McGuire and them, to have 10 to 20 to 30 recruits after practice. And so it's always a busy day for coaches and everyone around in springtime with football.
Will they scrimmage today since they have recruits in?
No, this is practice three, and so this is actually the first day they can legally by the NCAA be in pads, and so they'll probably do several team periods, but they won't do a full-blown scrimmage, I don't think, until 2 weeks from now.
Okay, how long does it last, spring practice? We started what day?
We started this past Tuesday, and we'll go all the way up until April 20th in the spring
game.
That's
a long time.
Which is in Midland.
Isn't it you get so many days to get in 20 practices or something like that?
Yeah, it's 15 practices. I don't know what the exact days are, but typically for us it's three practices per week, and then those off days in between practices – you'll do walkthroughs, you'll do a lot of meetings where, and a lot of spring football is repetition and also learning. You got a lot of guys that, and with Coach McGuire, it's reps, reps, reps. He wants, they'll sometimes have two different practices going on at the same time. They'll have a younger player practice on one field and kind of your older ones and twos on another field. And the whole purpose is to get as many reps as you can for a lot of these young guys because it's development period. And so they see more. Especially, I mean, we had 20-something new enrollees at semester. And so for all of those players, it's getting reps in this system, learning the scheme, formation, but also seeing live action.
Do we have any early enrollee high school kids participating in spring ball?
Yeah, we have about, I think, somewhere in the range of 10 to 15 this semester. I should probably know that exact number.
I would have no idea it would be that many.
It's changed quite a bit. I mean, obviously you have mid-year transfers, but you also have high school kids that are coming in at semester more and more now, and that's just kind of the routine. I mean, we have skill position players. We have several offensive linemen, and it's a good development time for them. They get to experience college, be a student on campus, but go through spring football and also winter conditioning. That's an important time for several of them, is just getting bigger and stronger.
Matt, how many transfer portal kids will we have that will be on next year's roster? And I don't know how many are participating this spring that are already here, but how many transfer portal players will we have?
I'm going to mess up this number, but I want to say around 12.
Okay.
And I want to say if they have already committed to us in the transfer portal, they're here.
Okay.
And so all the good news for us is all those kids are here. And so, like, you look up front, we took a lot of offensive linemen in through the portal. All those guys are here. They're going through spring football. They are getting acclimated with our offense. And so, it's a important part of just the portal is, A, when you sign them, but also getting them here for spring practices.
And you know our new offensive line coach, Clay McGuire.
I do. Yeah, this will be Clay's third time here, but also second time with me as football SID. And I mean, when I heard the news, I was I told Coach Joey McGuire, and again, no relation there. I said he texted me. He's like, and I said, well, I got a smile on my face because I like Clay quite a bit, and he'll do a great job here. And so, a great addition. I think our offensive line, Coach McGuire has said it multiple times since the Independence Bowl. It's like, that's an area we got to improve upon this next season. And a lot of new faces. You watch the spring game in April, get out your PDF roster, print a roster. There's been a couple number changes. Plus at least in the ones I looked the other day, I was looking out there, because the only number I recognized immediately was Caleb Rogers at number 76. So,
yeah, well, that's good. I'm just excited about, everybody wants instant gratification. And, it's just the nature of the world today, in America in particular. But Coach McGuire is the guy. And you're with him probably as much as anybody, Matt. And you know what I just said is true. He is the guy to get this done. I have total confidence in him.
Well, yeah, and just the two things that always stick out to me about Coach McGuire is, A, the culture inside the building. Like, players, his saying is, when players come into our building, I want it to be the happiest part of their day. I don't want them dreading coming into our building for practice. I don't want them to dread coming into our building for meetings. This needs to be the place where it's the happiest part of their day is when they come to football, or come to, currently on the west side of the football stadium where their offices are. But the other thing is, we're just recruiting at such a high level right now that it's just going to just build that roster for future years. Those are two things that always just stick out to me about Coach McGuire.
Matt, you talk about the coaches' offices on the west side. Kind of give us an update on a timeline of what's going to happen and practices and when August starts around and so forth, and where things are going to be and where the team will be dressing out and where they'll practice and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, so if you come up to campus there and decide to come up to football practice, there's some walking involved now. The teams actually, where the visiting teams were this last year in portable locker rooms in the East Stadium parking lot over there, that's where the team and the coaches are utilizing as a locker room right now. So the interesting part is, because we've started on the Womble Football Center side construction, the team walks to the practice field along University Avenue, where there's a gate right there, and they enter through there. But to get to the west stadium side, they basically go all the way around the stadium to get to where the coaches' offices are.
Oh my goodness.
Right now. So you, if you're driving down University and you see one of our players on a Lime scooter or a bike or in their carrying shoulder pads, they're probably going to a meeting, not to practice. They're going to a practice after that meeting, but
yeah,
first they're probably going to a meeting. So there's been some alternative transportation being found.
But once we get it finished, it'll be so nice.
Yeah, will the football facility be finished prior to the first game?
Yes, that's obviously the goal and what we've been told will happen. I think you'll see the south end zone done somewhere early July, to where we hope to move coaches and move a lot of personnel into the south end zone building. Because you got to remember, they're all between the suite one and suite two of the west stadium building. We got to turn that building around and get that ready for game one. August 31st against Abilene Christian. So we got to take those away from being office space to more suite premium areas. And so, but thankfully it's a great weather day so far in Lubbock. So weather, I do not think has impacted, knock on wood, of course, construction thus far. And so, based on two or three weeks ago, everything seemed to be on schedule and on time.
Will they continue to have a grass field and a turf field located?
Yeah, they're not going to
they're not going to touch. I don't think there's any plans right now to touch the two practice fields. I think the
and they'll come out of the football facility when it's finished and just like they had been. As when they're dressing, they'll dress for a practice and then just walk out to the practice fields like they have.
Yep. So in the dressing room is actually in the southeast, I think, side of the – it's a lot larger space than you can than you would remember from the football training facility. But it's more – instead of being on the – as you enter the main doors of the football facility, instead of being just directly to your right as you walk in, it's going to be to the back left. And so it'll be a little bit more convenient probably to walk in – walk straight to practice.
Well, good. Good.
Now, the whole deal is just – you know, I can't wait. Thank goodness for these great donors like – Dusty Womble and our Matador Club that's going on now, which they're all a part of. I've just been so impressed with, and you got to have that, don't you, Matt, to compete in this environment that we're in today, and we're doing it.
It's been fantastic. You know, we have the best support we could have, and that when this facility is completed, I mean, it's really me and Coach McGuire were talking about it the other day. We were walking down the steps of the East Stadium where the student section was down to the field. And you just kind of look up to where that south end zone is and you just see that new double T scoreboard up there. It's kind of intimidating at times.
it's impressive looking.
It is very, it is not a small structure. It is very massive. It is hopefully an intimidating environment for visiting teams. And so, but yeah, you couldn't do any of this without the support we've received from so many different people. And so, it's a great time to be associated with Texas Tech. And, you know, you have a lot of support, not just for football, but for all of our sports.
Let me ask you, are the football offices for the coaches, are they going to be, I don't even know how it looks exactly. Are they going to be looking over the field? Or are they going to be in the other new facility?
They're going to be actually in the south end zone. They're going to be, so if you're looking from the field into that new south end zone building,
yeah,
there is the main concourse level, and then there's the second floor and the third floor. They're going to be along the second floor. And so, they're going to have a fantastic view, but also when you take recruits through there, they do events up there, team meetings, you look straight into the stadium. So
somebody told me that Coach McGuire's office is going to be pretty nice.
I've heard that rumor too. I've actually stood. We went up and did a tour a couple of weeks ago, and I've actually stood where his office is going to be, and it's going to be a
– It's on the end, isn't it?
It'll be on the corner. It's going to be a fantastic on the corner just over the visiting – what used to be the visiting ramp.
My gosh. You see, that's the way I think it always should have been. Those coaches' offices down there so that you can look out over the field. You got recruits in. Yeah. You know, that's just – that's the way it ought to be. And where's Kirby's office going to be?
On the east side, isn't he?
He's remained on the east side. So they, as part of this project, several years ago, we moved all the administrative staff, which was me included, out of the south end zone, moved them over to the east stadium building. So there's two floors on the east stadium building that is most of athletic administration between creative, media relations, communications, but also compliance, event management, and then AD's office as well, between the two floors.
Matt, part of your job is to tell the stories of a lot of these players. Give us a unique story that you've run across about any player that we might not have heard of.
Whew, that's a
that's man, a you have to think about that. And you forget you're from Idaloo.
Yeah,
yeah. The fun part about this job is you learn new ones each and every day.
That's exactly right. Yeah.
The one, and it's a player we all know real well, but the one that I always just story is just Bryce Ramirez. Just the fact that he didn't just walk on to this team. He tried out to walk on to this team. And so
he had to try out to be a walk-on.
We do walk-on tryouts pretty regularly to see if there's any students on campus that would potentially make the team, or there's some talent on campus. And since I can remember, Bryce has been the most successful one to do so. And it's funny. He addressed the team I heard it in a huddle a couple months back, and he's like, I show up here every day knowing I got to outwork every person to the left of me, to the right of me, because I'm a walk-on. But if you walk through that building, there's no one that looks at Bryce Ramirez as a walk-on. If he says something, it doesn't matter who you are, player, coach, trainer, whatever staff member, they're going to listen because he's earned that respect. And so that's probably one of the favorite stories.
It's a good story.
That's really a good one.
Yeah.
And we might find a kicker, huh?
Yes. Yep.
You can't ever tell.
Yep. You might find one out of the stands.
I know. That's another great story. Yeah. There's been a lot of them through the years at Texas Tech, and there's going to be more. Well, you got something you got to go do right now?
No, I'm good for another, if you need me for another
one. Yeah, there's always some stuff. You're doing great. And, by the way, I've said we took Reggie Dabbs out to Idaloo to – you know, he's a speaker, and they were great. Idaloo's always great.
Did you put see Matt Dowdy's name on a wall
no,
or anything?
We were in the Matt Dowdy Auditorium.
Oh, I see. I see.
They named that auditorium after you.
Yeah, I'm sure they did.
All right, we're going to be back with Matt Dowdy. He's the SID, Assistant Athletics Director for Texas Tech and football in particular. Craig Wells is here sitting in for Gary Ashby today. Gary is on a dream trip with a bunch of friends and their spouses and playing golf out in California, Southern California.
Good for him.
Torrey Pines.
You've been listening to the Sports Talk with Thetford and Ashby podcast from Double T 97.3. Catch the show live Saturday mornings from 9 to noon on Double T 97.3 FM or on the Double T 97.3 mobile app.